Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. The San Antonio Children's Shelter is dealing with the results of a negative report from court-appointed monitors. The children from the emergency shelter have been removed and there could be more consequences. We're joined by the Children's Shelter of San Antonio's president and CEO, Annette Rodriguez, to learn more. And Annette, welcome back to The Source.
Thank you for having me, David.
So tell us what is going on and how can we help?
I think appreciate that. The Children's Shelter has been in our community for over 120 years, providing services to vulnerable children and youth throughout. And through those 100 years, we've also added a number of community outreach programs working with parents to prevent their children from being removed. And most recently, in the last 2 years, the Children's Shelter decided that we wanted to be part of the solution in transforming the foster care system, and we embarked on what is called the Single Source Continuum Contractor contract with the state, which is also known as community-based care, where an organization starts taking on the responsibility of placing children that are removed from their area. So any child that is removed by the courts and Child Protective Services in Bexar County comes through the Children's Shelter through Family Tapestry to be placed, and in subsequent stages, we will then also assume the role of other DFPS functions. But currently, we are in stage one and in the initial stage of that contract. And in placing children, we have served over 5,000 children who've needed to be placed, successfully placing over 99% of them. And 1% of the population has been a challenge. And it was a challenge when we took over the contract. And now it's not only a challenge in Bexar County, but it's a challenge across the state. And we're seeing a capacity crisis for particularly teenagers that are in the foster care system. And so what the Children's Shelter has done and what we attempted to do, as we have always done in our history, is try to fill in the gap of service to answer the needs of our community and answer the needs of the children and youth in our care. And we tried to provide those services that were needed. And so in a situation where we've lacked capacity or lacked beds for teenagers, the Children's Shelter tried to step into that space and work with those teenagers, and found out that we didn't have the right model for that. And so for our emergency shelter most recently, our emergency shelter has a strong history of compliance and safety for children and youth. But since January, we have seen an increasing challenge in trying to find placements for teenagers with high acuity needs. And so the Children's Shelter tried to take on some of those youth in our care at our shelter and ran into some problems. As you can imagine, with teenagers themselves, sometimes when you have, larger groups of them can get into some trouble. But when you compound that with the trauma that these teens have had, both at the hands of family, which brought them into care, but then also the trauma of being in the foster care system itself, that in and of itself then also brings about characteristics and behaviors that can be very difficult and challenging to deal with. And that's what happened. We had some challenging evenings and weekends with some of the youth that we had in care, and we raised concerns with the department, which then resulted in the Department of Family and Protective Services placing our emergency shelter on placement hold. And so all the children were moved. We currently don't have any children in care, but we are actively working with the department to move us to a place where we'll be able to reopen. At this point, we consider this a temporary placement hold and one where we hope to reopen in the future.
So there was a report that was authored by court-appointed monitors, and that they are part of the overall lawsuit against the foster care system, not because of anything in the history of the San Antonio Children's Shelter, but they were monitoring what was happening at the on these grounds. And then the monitors reported insufficient care and supervision, along with allegations of violence and sexual assault occurring among the Bexar County foster children. So when they say sexual assault, are they, this allegation, is that referring to among these teenage children?
For the most part, yes. There are still some open investigations that we can't speak to. But in terms of the ones that have been closed that we know about, yes, it does include peer-on-peer or youth-on-youth as well.
There was questions about housing children at a separate facility, which had been shut down because of other problems.
So when Children's Shelter took on the contract to be the single source continuum contractor, we had one facility that, in essence, we broke up into two functions. One function was to be able to provide short-term emergency shelter care for youth that we could not find placements for through the Family Tapestry Network. And the other section of that building was the Family Tapestry Intake Center, which allowed for when a new removal of a child or a youth came into care, they could come to the intake center for a couple hours, get a bite to eat, watch TV, if they needed some clothing or if they had any basic needs that needed to be met. We could meet those needs at the intake center, but the purpose of the intake center was to only have them there for a couple hours. Now, for the residential facility, for the residential part of the building, we had operated that center for 2 years, and through those 2 years, we operated as a no-eject, no-reject center, and so anytime that Family Tapestry could not find a placement for a teenager, they would go to that center, and one of the issues that we ran into there is having too many of these high-acuity youth is a recipe for problems. We had youth that were running away. We would have youth that would get into altercations with one another. We were understaffed in many instances in the beginning because we underprojected the number of youth that we thought were going to be coming to that center. And so after about 2 years, we resolved as an organization that we needed to get out of that particular work, because we didn't have the right model and the facility didn't lend itself to be able to create the type of environment that this particular population needed. And so we decided to close that program. But we continued to use the intake center for those short-term stays. Unfortunately, as I mentioned earlier, the state is in a huge capacity crisis. The state has lost over 1,000 residential beds that used to be open and available for teenagers or for youth in care. The Bexar County itself has lost about 475 beds, which are now no longer available to us. And so Family Tapestry found ourselves with the inability to find placement for these teenagers and had no other alternative than to try to care for them at the intake center, which was not supposed to be a long-term or overnight type of facility, but however, we did not have a placement for them, and so we did the best that we absolutely could in trying to provide the care that they needed, and we, not having been prepared for that originally, we tried to staff up as quickly as possible and get the support and that we needed. However, it took us a while to try to get there. And so we continue to have challenges in trying to find the most appropriate placement for teenagers in our network.
So clearly there's a lot going on here, and we're still dealing with COVID. How can the community help you?
Well, we continue to work with our partners to support the organizations that are providing care to these youth. So there's lots of great organizations in San Antonio that are providing care to teenagers. We need to continue to support them so that they can continue that good work, because we need every bed. We need great services. We need very tailored services for these youth. And so, so I would ask our community to support organizations that are working in this space and working with foster youth, and then also a call for foster families. We need more foster homes who are able and willing to take older youth. When we get a young child in care, we don't have trouble placing a younger child in a foster home, but it's the older youth that we really struggle with. And we know there's parents out there who are skilled and you know, love working with teenagers, or you know, might have teenagers of their own, or that you know, feel like they can make a difference. We need them. We need more homes for teens.
Right. And quickly, I mean, how should people be thinking about what's going on at the San Antonio Children's Shelter? Okay, there's a stumble, there's a problem, but we're going to recover? You're going to recover? What's going to happen?
Absolutely, we're going to recover. We've been here for 120 years. One of the things I'm most proud of is that we continue to be relevant and meet the needs of our community, and we're going to continue to do that. We're going to continue to serve vulnerable children and youth, and we will get past this, and I appreciate the community support and just ask that they continue to support, keep an open mind on the information that they're hearing, and we would like to come back at a later date to share and continue to tell our story.
Absolutely. Well, it was great hearing from you, Annette Rodriguez, the Children's Shelter of San Antonio's president and CEO. Thank you so much. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking to the head of CPS Energy about their challenges and how to support CPS Energy. They keep the lights on. How do we help them? This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We'll be right back.